John Paul Morosi is our MLB insider. He's with the MLB Network, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. John, do you think I'd know by now not to, you know, not to look at the to stare at the wild card standings too long? Because once you do that, you inevitably start dreaming. You inevitably start working up various scenarios that might see your team get back into it. I do want to ask you this though: why have we seen, particularly in the American League East, I think, just we haven't seen a team really go on the type of run that settles the issue? Why do you think that is? Are these teams that closely, that closely aligned?
Well, first and foremost, Jeff, just if you want to bring in the objective information here, Fangraphs.com has the Jays as a 5.4% chance of winning the wild card.
So they went up.
One of the wild cards. 5.4%. So you're saying there's a chance.
I'm saying there's a chance.
So in the American League, to your point, the American League East, also, objectively speaking, I would like to point out that the Red Sox do have a better record, higher winning percentage than both the first place in the American League Central Cleveland Indians,
right,
and also the leaders of the NL Central, the Cubs. So this is not the most dubious of all the divisions, if you will, in the league. But I agree that both the Red Sox and Yankees, I would say, are sufficiently flawed that it's prevented them from really taking off and establishing themselves as the clear favorite. The Yankees, to me, when healthy, Jeff, I like them a bit more than the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. I think when they've got their full complement there, but they've really hit the injury bug here the last month or 6 weeks or so, which I think has prevented them from really achieving their fullest potential. And the Red Sox, the same situation in a certain sense with David Price and the different inconsistencies over the course of the year with the likes of Eduardo Rodriguez and even Drew Pomeranz to some extent. Their bullpen as well, they've had a real revolving door among their setup men with some issues there trying to protect leads late in ball games. So I think both teams have had their weaknesses, which I think makes for a compelling race. And the Rays, Jeff, they continue to impress. I know that they missed a bit of an opportunity last weekend in New York, but that's a team that I really like a lot. And I believe the Rays, if given the proper opportunity, if the Red Sox and Yankees continue to play mediocre baseball, the Rays, to me, have as good of a rotation as just about anybody, and probably their best lineup, maybe their best lineup ever, Jeff, mm-hmm. with the way they're swinging it right now. So there's a lot to like about Tampa Bay as well.
You were asked yesterday about Jose Bautista, and we know that Jose Bautista was among a group of players who were on revocable waivers yesterday. I want to ask you about another member of the Blue Jays right now, and that is Josh Donaldson. We're going to talk about this later on in the show as well with callers. But Rosie DiMano, who writes for the Toronto Star, wrote a column today that kind of got me thinking. And, you know, I think in some ways Josh Donaldson's status with this organization has been the elephant in the room for the past, I would say, 2 years. You know, I mean, when he was locked up to the long-term contract, it was almost as if people forgot that there was kind of that one year, one bridge year, if you want to call it, between free agency and the expiration of his current multi-year contract. I'm going to ask you know the marketplace pretty well, and we've looked ahead a lot to the free agent marketplace after 2018. Is Josh Donaldson a guy you think the Jays should look at building around? Should they look, and I've said in the past, I think they made a mistake. I think they should have locked Josh Donaldson up 4 years ago to a 5 or 6 year contract. So I think I've been pretty consistent here. But do you see Josh Donaldson as a guy you would build around if you were the Blue Jays, a guy that you would try to lock up, you know, whatever the cost is, get it done and have him as kind of the focal point of your organization moving forward?
It's a great question, Jeff. And I'm sure the Jays are similarly reflecting on Edwin and the lack of his bat in the middle of the lineup. And certainly he's outperformed the man who replaced him in Kendrys Morales, even though he's in his age 34 season. Donaldson, you look at him and where he is at with his career. He's, of course, he's 31 years old now. By the time that his next contract would kick in, he'll be 33. So he'll be basically the same age that Edwin is right now, for all practical purposes, roughly that same age. He'll be a little bit younger, but basically the same age. And Edwin's deal, as we saw it, coming off of a fantastic year, a year that Josh will be, I'm sure, hard-pressed to duplicate next year as a platform year. That's how good Edwin was in 2016. Mm-hmm. Edwin signed, as we know, for 3 years and $60 million. Josh clearly, I think, brings more defensive value than Edwin, but I really think, Jeff, that we're seeing in the game right now a real movement away from these mega deals for free agents in their 30s, and especially once you get to 32, 33. So is the market going to produce the sort of bidding frenzy that resulted in Albert Pujols' deal after the 2011 season for Josh? I think the answer is no. I just don't see that, because the game has changed, and it's become, as we've heard it many, many times, a game in which young players are prioritized. And also, Jeff, the answer to maybe a bit of a long answer to a short question is the Jays have too low at short. And for better or worse, he's not going anywhere because the contract's not movable. They also have two very promising kids coming up, and Vlad Jr. and Bo Bichette. Clearly, they can move to other sides of the infield or maybe the outfield at different times. But it seems to me that if you've got a shortstop that's already under contract that's restricting your maneuverability to some degree, and you've got two very promising young players that are playing on the left side of the infield, mm-hmm. That probably, Jeff, that you're not going to look to sign another 30-something player to a long-term deal and effectively plug up both of your left side of the infield spots and restrict your maneuverability. To me, Jeff, and we've both followed the moves of Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins for a long time, they like flexibility. They don't like being I think, restricted in the long term by multiple decisions. They'll maybe do it for one player or maybe even two, but maybe I think that's about the limit. So to me, the Jays will want to preserve some degree of maneuverability, and unless Josh is willing to accept a deal that's probably less than what he wants right now, I do think that there's probably a fair chance he won't be on this team by opening day of 2019.
Yeah, it is fascinating, you know, when you look at his, just the combination we see in him of his service time, his age, and, you know, the way that has kind of, that has fallen during his arbitration cycle. It's really an outlier, you know, in a lot of ways, isn't it, to see a guy this good, reach free agency this late with so little service time, if you know what I mean, or I should say reach arbitration with so little service time as opposed to free agency. You know, normally you'd expect players to be where Josh Donaldson is at the age of 28, 29. And it's such an outlier. And I think people are having a difficult time. I know I am kind of wrapping my head around that.
Well, that's very fair, and I think obviously it comes from he really did not spend his first full season as a major leaguer until his age 27 season. Mm-hmm. So to use the comparison there, Jason Hayward, when he got that mega deal from the Cubs, that's basically how old he was. Hayward, as a free agent, signed that mega deal at the same age Donaldson was when he was a full-time, full-season, major league regular for the first time, which is really, as you point out, Jeff, sort of surprising. Effectively, Hayward lapped the field, if you will, for that one time around. That he had already gotten all his service time in. He's a free agent, and then he catches up, effectively, the age at which Donaldson was when he just basically broke into the big league. So you're right. He's in a very interesting spot, just based on his interim deals. Josh is obviously very well taken care of financially from that standpoint, but you do think, and I do believe this is true, that once you've already gotten yourself taken care of from a family standpoint, and you signed some nice contracts and brought in a lot of money over a period of time, Josh knows this is his one big chance of free agency. Likely is going to get one. And I think from that standpoint, Jeff, there's a real sense of, I don't know if owing it to yourself is the right word, but there's probably a bit of a compelling thought in your own mind that says, you know what? I've worked in this game for a long time. I'm now finally a free agent. I think once you've done that, there's a bit of an urgency to at least see what's out there, as opposed to signing an extension right now and foregoing that, knowing that really that's your one shot. And I think it's much easier to sign that extension when you're a 25 or 26 year old,
right,
to really lock in a bunch of money and then know, hey, well, I'll be a free agent when I'm 29 or 30 anyway. That's obviously not the case at all for Josh Donaldson.
Yeah, and that's why I think that if a deal was going to get done, it probably would have been, you know, the time to do a long-term deal, and it would have been a tremendous leap of faith, would be after even his first or second year here.
I agree.
That's
a great point, Jeff.
It would have been a leap of faith. Yu Darvish starts tonight against Jacob deGrom for the Dodgers. You were in L.A. when that deal was consummated, John, and you talked about the impact on the Dodgers clubhouse. The Jays, of course, are in Houston tonight. They're playing a team that didn't make a big deal at the deadline and, you know, has seen one of its players, Dallas Keuchel, I think who we would call probably the spokesman for the team, give some pretty pointed criticism of management for not adding to that team. I want to talk about Yu Darvish first. Watching Alex Wood pitch last night, I'm trying to imagine what the Dodgers do in a short series. If Yu Darvish, you know, if Clayton Kershaw is healthy and Yu Darvish is fine, how do you think they set themselves up for a short series? And I know we're looking ahead, but we might as well, because they're going to be in the postseason.
Well, yeah, I think they'll be there, Jeff.
Yeah.
I think we can all agree they're going to be there. The historic nature of their season, I believe in the divisional era, I think I saw the other day on MLB Whip Around on Fox, I think it's the third best record this number of games after the 98 Yankees and 01 Mariners. So
yeah,
we're talking about one of the absolute best teams, Jeff, in all of our combined years of covering baseball. This is one of the best handful of teams we've seen in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
I think that not to be evasive, I think part of it depends on the opponent and how dominant that team is or effective that team is against left-handed pitching. Because even with Darvish, it's going to be a pretty left-handed dominant rotation,
right,
assuming Kershaw is healthy. Because you would probably go, obviously, Kershaw in game one, Darvish two, and then Wood and Hill in some order, depending on the circumstances. But I think that's probably how you would do it. Now, if you want to keep, for example, if you're playing a club where – if you're playing Colorado, and I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but if there's always that notion of Coors Field, and if you've got a pitcher with especially good numbers or his stuff plays there better, you may configure your rotation that way. You're adjusting and putting the guys that are most comfortable at Coors. Same thing for Chase Field, because basically at this point in time, Jeff, you can almost lock it in. They're going to play the winner of the wild card game, and the winner of the wild card game is going to be Colorado or Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those are two pretty hitter-friendly ballparks that you'll most likely arrange your rotation in regard to which of them sort of is more effective in these two places that are somewhat difficult to pitch in. But Darvish was necessary, Jeff, because as a righty, he gives them a needed contrast, especially if they end up facing the Rockies. The Rockies have, against left-handed pitching, the best OPS in the National League. So if the Rockies were to show up at Dodger Stadium and the rotation was going to be Kershaw, Wood, Hill, and Ryu, all lefties, and you've got the best team in the league against lefties, you've got a chance to have a colossal upset. So I think Darvish was absolutely essential. I think he sent a very positive vibe in the clubhouse, and so the Dodgers players now know, the front office, ownership, they're all very much invested right now. And I would say, Jeff, that the overall dynamic and the excitement about this game tonight is going to be palpable. You'll have a national, international broadcast on NHK, so it'll be broadcast live. So 7:10 start in New York means 8:10 a.m. Saturday start in Tokyo. So that'll be watched very well there. And of course, also just the great heritage. I think Jeff, and this matters to me, I think too, that you look at an organization with great heritage of Japanese pitchers, the number one winningest pitcher of all time in Major League Baseball from Japan, Hideo Nomo, Dodger, number two on the list, Hiroki Kuroda, Dodger, and Darvish is fifth on that list. So to me, it's obviously a great Japanese-American community in Los Angeles, beautiful place to play, great defense, amazing ballpark. I think for every reason, Yu Darvish is going to be very, very comfortable, much more so than he would be in the month of August pitching in Arlington, Texas.
You know, and I understand the Dodgers have some, well, I was going to say financial concerns. I don't know if concerns is the word. But the Dodgers, like a lot of teams in baseball, are at least keeping an eye on the luxury tax. But I look at Yu Darvish, and see, to me, Yu Darvish, this was the team Yu Darvish was meant to pitch for all along. I said it when he first posted. For a lot of reasons, the reasons you mentioned, but especially with that large Japanese-American community in L.A., and given what we've seen the Dodgers go through with their local TV issues, I got to think that in some ways, couldn't Yu Darvish be the guy that really sort of unlocks a lot of those sort of local issues for the Dodgers?
Well, you'd hope so, and I guess to back up a moment, Jeff, I remember that winter of 2011, 2012, you and I had a lot of conversations about the Blue Jays. We thought the Jays were heavy in there at that time. I remember well. I feel nostalgic. That was 6 years ago.
I know,
wow,
it's hard.
That was a long time ago.
And I still,
wow.
I said it then and I'll still say it now. I think one of the real mistakes that the Jays made was not being more proactive when it came to Yu Darvish. I really do.
Yeah.
I agree. The team, I think in some ways ownership here missed a big chance as well as a marketing and a communications company with Yu Darvish. But that's beside the point. Anyhow.
Yeah, exactly. It's a story for a different day. It's probably a good thing, Jeff, that they did not listen to my recommendation that they sign Prince Fielder at that time. Probably for the best. So I will readily admit that I perhaps was a little overzealous in my suggestions about Prince in hindsight.
Yes.
But be that as it may, with the Dodgers, I think first and foremost the TV issue for them. I think, Jeff, it's so complicated. It is, and the sides are dug in so deep, and frankly there are different corporate constituencies involved in that. I'm not even really all that familiar with, but it's certainly troubling the issues there about carriage and where you can get the games. And on a certain level, the sad part is if the team playing this brilliantly and this charismatically has not solved the issues to this point in time this season, I wonder if any one single player actually could. I mean, I would hope that Darvish can, but this seems to be such a far-reaching issue that I think it's far beyond any one player, and they've had the sensation and last year in Corey Seager, and they've had the best pitcher on the planet really for the entire lifetime of the TV contract there, and it still hasn't really changed anything. So it's just that part of it is frustrating, but I do think that we're going to see a lot of excitement. I think we're going to see even more. Park if that was possible. I saw last night the Dodgers website do my due diligence and research. I went to their Dodgers shop page on MLB.com, and of course you click on the jersey tab and there it is, the first jersey you see on the left hand corner of your screen, top row, Yu Darvish, number 21. The Darvish, Bellinger, and Kershaw is now the top row. So it's just very interesting that already he has vaulted into that upper echelon. And I think we know certainly how passionate Japanese-American fans are about baseball and Japanese fans. So I think we're going to see at Dodger Stadium on those nights, it's going to be a very special atmosphere. Dare I say, I hope it's similar to the WBC atmosphere. You know how much I love that. So I think it's going to be a very interesting dynamic to watch unfold. We saw it certainly when Manny came over there in 08. Immediately there was this phenomenal response from the team's Latin fans in particular. So I think it's going to be a really great thing to see how things play out now with Yu Darvish.
Mr. Morosi, we're going to let you run. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Jeff. I'm going to try to see Team Canada today in Plymouth there for the World Junior Showcase. I'll send back my scouting report on it as best I can, okay?
Why? It's a summer. Go to a beach.
I know. Well, it's a little mild today in Michigan, which actually should improve the ice conditions. And I'm thinking about taking my kids there. I want them to see. I want them. You know, how often do I get a chance to take them to a hockey game in the middle of the afternoon? Right.
All right. Have fun. Take care.
The anguish in your voice, Jeff, is palpable. I'm sorry, my friend. I'm sorry.
It's all right. Enjoy. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff.
Take care. Weekend.